Warning, the following podcast contains coarse language. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Here comes the big dog!
Dirty sheets.
Playing knob.
Ooh. Emphasizes athleticism.
We take what we want, and after we take Lex Luger and the Giant, we want the gold, sucker. Hulk Hogan, we coming for you.
Oh, a little bit of the bubbly. Consensual penis.
This is such good shit.
Let me just remind you guys that we live stream every single Monday and Thursday right here on YouTube. It's the Wrestling with Fans YouTube channel. If you're watching the video, give it a thumbs up. Subscribe if you haven't done so. We're at 105. Seems like I was checking out some videos back in March when we were just close to 50. So in the last 3 months, we've doubled our subscriber base. And I couldn't have done it without all you wonderful people. So thank you all so much. Thank you all for joining every Monday and Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on YouTube. Of course, you can check us out across social media. Facebook.com/WrestlingWithFans. Hulk smash that like button. YouTube.com/WrestlingWithFans. That's right, one of the perks of hitting that 100 subscriber mark is we get that custom URL. So youtube.com/wrestlingwithfans. If you're listening to the audio version of the show, make sure you go down into the show notes, click the link to the YouTube channel, and subscribe. Come join the live stream. We have a lot of fun in here. We have a great community that we've been building over the last several months. And be a lot of fun to have some new faces here in the live chat. So if you can join us either Monday or Thursday, join us on YouTube. You can also check us out on Instagram at Wrestling With Fans. All that good stuff is over there. Some fig photography, some pictures, memes, all kinds of good stuff over there on the Wrestling With Fans Instagram. Check us out on the web, WrestlingWithFans.com. New audio shows posted every single Saturday morning at 6.05 a.m. Start your weekend off right with Wrestling With Fans. I completely forgot to post the show. So when I got home, I made sure it went up. So it went up about 12 hours late at 6.05 p.m. this week. But we'll make sure next week, 6.05 a.m., you get your podcast fix. Or you can take us on the go, download us to your favorite podcast listening device. Get us wherever you get your podcast fix. Just search Wrestling With Fans podcast. And finally, wwfshow@gmail.com. Of course, as always, you can check out KC Toys. Again, that video is going live later this week. Links to the KC Toys YouTube channel and the KC Toys Instagram are down in the video description below. If you're listening to the audio show, they'll also be in the show notes. Make sure you follow us on Instagram. Subscribe to us on YouTube. You guys are going to get a cool sneak peek here later in this episode. But the first thing I want to touch on, it has been announced officially, SummerSlam 2021 will take place August the 21st, that is Saturday, August the 21st. That's right, guys. SummerSlam is going down on a Saturday this year, and it's going to take place at Allegiant Stadium in Paradise, Nevada, just outside of Las Vegas, the brand new home of the Las Vegas Raiders. So it was just announced again, like I said, Saturday. It's going to be interesting. It'll be the first time, I think, since 92. SummerSlam 92 was the last time we had like a Saturday pay-per-view. Hey, Salome, welcome to the stream, my friend. So we are getting SummerSlam. Now, the other interesting... there's a big fight going on that night. Is it the Pacquiao fight? Something's going on that night. Yeah, Manny Pacquiao versus Errol Spence Jr. is also taking place August 21st in the same city. So WWE will be having SummerSlam the same night as the Pacquiao fight. Now, what WWE is doing here is they are starting the pay-per-view at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. And it's supposed to be a streamlined show. The Pacquiao main event probably will not go on until 11 o'clock Eastern, so probably 8 p.m. Pacific. And where the Pacquiao fight is taking place is just down the street, like within a block or two of Allegiant Stadium. So what WWE is doing, they're going to do Allegiant Stadium and an NFL stadium for SummerSlam on a Saturday and get the show over in time so anybody that wants to double dip and get to the Pacquiao fight by the time the main event happens, they're going to try to accommodate that and have the show be streamlined. So I'm expecting this to be 2 hours and 45 minutes. Like the old classic pay-per-views, or pay-per-views used to be 2 hours and 45, maybe 2 hours and 50 minutes if it ran a few minutes long. This is coming out. Dave Meltzer over at Wrestling Observer, Uncle Dave, reported WWE is expected to take the Pacquiao fight into mind when booking SummerSlam, putting together a shorter pay-per-view so that people can watch both events. The main event of major boxing pay-per-views typically begin around midnight Eastern, so WWE shouldn't run into too many problems. However, if the company wants to make it possible for people to see both SummerSlam and Pacquiao in person, they'll likely need to ensure their event ends well before 11. WWE currently has SummerSlam listed as beginning at 8 p.m. It'll be interesting to see if it's pushed ahead to 7 p.m. in order to accommodate Pacquiao and avoid the chance of any type of overrun. Be interesting. We'll see how it is. We'll keep up to date with anything else that happens here. Now, just in a follow-up, some stuff we've been talking about. And Salome, that is a great segue because that is exactly what I'm about to talk about. Salome says here in the live chat, if it's true that Vince is selling WWE, it will never be the same. Salome, there's been a lot of rumor and innuendo over the last few weeks about the potential of a WWE sale. Now, Brandon Thurston of WrestleNomics spoke to five WWE investors, all of whom said they do not expect Vince McMahon to sell his majority share in the company. The more likely scenario is WWE's new management, headed by Nick Khan, no relation to Tony, is cutting costs after years of talent hoarding. It's been well documented that Strowman's salary was a major reason behind his departure, and most of the other talent released topped out at the lower mid-card. Rather than paying these wrestlers to simply stay away from other companies, WWE is now cutting their losses and eyeing its own profitability. And that makes a lot of sense. Brandon Thurston at WrestleNomics does a lot of cool work. You can always check him out at your own leisure, if you so choose to. But it seems that, according to him, doesn't think that there's a sale possible. We'll see. We'll see how things play out. It'll be interesting to see what goes on. But speaking of SummerSlam, it is a mere 2 weeks away. Or not SummerSlam, Hell in a Cell, I apologize. Hell in a Cell, taking place in 2 weeks, June 20th, at the Yuengling Center. The rumor and innuendo, according to, again, Uncle Dave over at Wrestling Observer, is stating that Roman Reigns, the Tribal Chief, the head of the table, will be facing none other than Rey Mysterio. There was a lot of talk and rumor that it would potentially be Roman versus Jimmy Uso. But apparently they're not going to be having that at Hell in a Cell. The plan is the head of the table attacked Rey and Dominic midway through their match this past Friday on SmackDown, which will eventually set up the match between Rey and Roman at the biggest party of the summer. I'm not sure I'm liking that, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Hey, Downfall Wrestling, welcome, my friend, to the live stream. Salome says, if WWE gets bought by AEW and AEW try to make new WWE, I don't think it'll be safe. Salome, Tony Khan is a billionaire. Like, his family, you know, they own the Jacksonville Jaguars. They own, I think it's Chelsea Football Club. There's one thing I can almost guarantee. They say never make guarantees in wrestling, is that AEW will not, or WWE will not sell out to AEW. That just wouldn't happen. They would probably sell out to maybe the likes of like a Disney or Fox or something like that. I don't ever see that being a thing where AEW would make a bid for WWE. In other news, Kylie Rae, who some of you may remember from AEW and most recently appearing on Impact Wrestling, has now signed with the NWA, according to Sportster. It's a good pickup. Kylie Rae. Kaylee Rae is in the NXT UK. Too many names, so confusing. The other cool thing I want to touch on real quick. 11 years ago today, June 7th, 2010. Anybody want to take a guess what happened on Monday Night Raw, June 7th, 2010? Because you are either Nexus or against us. It was 11 years ago today. The Nexus was born. And one of the greatest closing angles in Raw history. The entirety of the first season of NXT, back when it was a reality show, came out and attacked John Cena during the main event. And one of the greatest closing segments in Raw history. Now, unfortunately, during this, Daniel Bryan ended up choking out ring announcer Justin Roberts with his own tie, causing Daniel Bryan to lose his job. He ended up getting released, would be later be brought back in the Team WWE versus Team Nexus match at SummerSlam that August. But again, one of the coolest closing angles in WWE history. We live stream every single Monday and Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on YouTube. So if you're listening to the audio show after the fact, make sure you go down to the show notes, click on the link to the YouTube channel, and subscribe. Join us Mondays and Thursdays, 8 p.m. right here on Wrestling With Fans on YouTube. You can also check us out across social media, facebook.com/WrestlingWithFans. Hulk smash that like button to keep up to date with everything we do here on Wrestling With Fans. Again, if you're watching us live, give the video a thumbs up if you haven't done so already. Subscribe if you haven't done so already. YouTube.com/WrestlingWithFans. Check us out on Instagram, @WrestlingWithFans. Post a lot of fun stuff over there. Check us out on the web, WrestlingWithFans.com. New audio podcasts are posted every single Saturday morning at 6:05 a.m. Start your weekend off right with the Wrestling With Fans. Or you can take us on the go, download us to your favorite podcast listening device. Get us wherever you get your podcast fix: Apple, Google, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, all the majors. Just search Wrestling With Fans Podcast. And last but certainly not least, the email, wwfshow@gmail.com. So what I want to talk about first, we're going to get to this Triple H stuff here in a few minutes. Let's talk about two superstars who were just recently released. I've seen contradicting things about this first superstar, Aleister Black, who was just released last week. There was a report, and I don't have it saved, so I apologize because I'm not going to be able to give credit to the person who put this report. It might be Mike Johnson, a PWI insider. It might be Sean Ross Sapp. I'm not sure who it's from. I can't remember. But I remember watching something on WrestleTalk earlier about it. The rumor is that there are people backstage in WWE that feel that Aleister Black was released too early. That they feel that they made a mistake by releasing Aleister Black. And there is talks, again, rumor and innuendo, talks that they may try to attempt to bring him back into the company. Now, just coming out today, Uncle Dave over at Wrestling Observer says there is a, quote, strong belief, unquote, that Black will sign with AEW once his 90-day non-compete clause expires August 31st. Should that happen, the all-out pay-per-view September 5th in Chicago could be a very possible debut for the now-known Tommy End. AEW has a history of making big debuts at All Out. Jon Moxley made his debut for the company at All Out in 2019. And it says here, another little caveat from Dave Meltzer, that there's been talk within WWE that Black was prematurely released, which could lead to an offer for him returning to the company. Maybe it was Dave Meltzer that reported that. So there's talk that Black could go to AEW, perhaps show up at All Out in September, or may potentially bring him back into the company. Speaking of released superstars, Samoa Joe. Now, he was released back on April 15th, Black Wednesday Part D. But a new report via Frightful Select is that Samoa Joe could be headed back to the NXT brand, at least if talents there have heard things correctly. This was typed up by Mark Middleton over at Wrestling Inc. But again, this is coming from Frightful Select. Multiple NXT wrestlers and staff members say they heard NXT officials, not anyone specific, have been interested in bringing Joe in. There have been pushes within WWE to bring back some of the recently released wrestlers, and Joe is one of those. We noted before there was also a push to have Aleister Black brought back, but he's also rumored to join AEW later this summer. Regarding the push to bring Joe back, apparently the support is working as multiple sources in the company and one outside of the company have heard that NXT officials want to bring Joe back as a wrestler. Of course, Joe had been working as a Raw commentator at the time of his release. Joe originally signed with the WWE in May of 2015, went on to become a two-time NXT champion. He also won the 2015 Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, made his main roster debut January 2017, won the U.S. title twice, and then ended up moving to the Raw announce table in 2019 after suffering some injuries while filming a commercial. So you got Aleister Black and Samoa Joe both rumored to potentially be coming back to WWE. Be interesting. Speaking of rumors, this is a big one. You guys might find this interesting. WWE is reportedly hopeful that they can get Dwayne The Rock Johnson to appear at this year's Survivor Series pay-per-view, which will take place in November. This is coming from Andrew Zarian of the Mat Men podcast, who has had a recent track record of having some accurate reports out there, including NXT's move to Tuesday nights. The current plan is for Survivor Series to be a huge event that emanates from Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. Dave Meltzer, again over at Wrestling Observer, Uncle Dave, added that WWE hopes The Rock will be able to appear in Survivor Series, although it isn't a done deal. So the big talk, and we've talked about it a lot here on the show, is that The rumor is that WWE could be trying to set up Roman versus The Rock at WrestleMania. Hey, what's up, Cloudy? Welcome to the stream of mans. Triple H returns to Hell in a Cell. I'd love to see Triple H with another run in the ring. We're going to talk about that Triple H quote, though, here shortly. But the other big rumor out there on a return, John Cena and Roman Reigns at SummerSlam is the big rumor going around amongst various dirt sheets online. The other rumor is Cena will be back next month when SmackDown is the first show back in front of a live crowd. Should be interesting. The last news story I want to touch on real quick before we get to the Triple H quote. Dave Meltzer, again, this is all a lot of stuff comes from Uncle Dave over at Wrestling Observer. In the latest edition, he said the talent that are no longer under contract are allowed to use their WWE character names when signing autographs. Before this clause, WWE just prevented released wrestlers from using their character names at shows, and rightfully so, as WWE obviously owns the trademarks and rights to most of those gimmick names. With the new clause, released performers won't be able to capitalize on their persona under their ring name. For example, Adam Scheer, who you know as Braun Strowman, would not be able to sign any merchandise, pictures, or anything. He would not be able to sign Braun Strowman. He would have to sign his legal name, Adam Scheer. It should also be noted that AEW does not have this clause in their deals. As a result, wrestlers working there are able to sign things under the names they are using if they should depart from the promotion. The big difference between WWE and AEW is WWE typically likes to come up with different ring names for talent so they can own the trademark rights, while AEW usually uses the names of the wrestlers that they used before coming to the promotion. And that's something we've all seen a lot over the years. guys will come in, or guys and girls, they'll come into the company. They'll have a name that they've been associated with for years and years and years. WWE rebrands them under one of their gimmick names. Now, there are several exceptions. Probably one of the most notable is AJ Styles. Daniel Bryan, of course, would go by Bryan Danielson. He'd go by his, you know, his legal given name. And of course, you know, just reverse it for Daniel Bryan in WWE. So, I've also seen in other places that this is just a bunch of BS. I know I've met several wrestlers over the years who were no longer working with WWE and were signing things under their WWE name. So if this is something that's new, I'm not a fan of it. I mean, I get that they're not able to appear or sell merch because WWE would own the trademark. Like, let's use, for example, Aleister Black. Who before coming to WWE and now since departing from WWE is going by his other name, Tommy End. So I could see, you know, them kind of being upset if Tommy End starts appearing on indies as Aleister Black, because WWE does own the Aleister Black name, but signing something, there's no real way. Unless someone's videotaping with a timestamp, that when these things are signed, you could just say, oh no, he signed it when he was working for the company. I'm not sure how much validity is in that. It's something I guess we'll have to follow up on and update once we find out more information. Alright guys, let's get into it. The meat and taters of this week's episode. Triple H rips the face. I don't want to say it's a clickbaity title, but it's kind of the take that some people are taking. So ahead of the TakeOver In Your House pay-per-view, Paul Triple H Levesque was part of a media call. He always does these media calls with journalists, both in wrestling and just general sports, where he discussed the state and future of NXT. Triple H was asked about the lack of movement with an NXT roster to other brands, and while discussing it, he critiqued the fans. So here's the quote from Triple H. It's a funny thing to me sometimes that in our business, everybody is so worried about where people are going to go or land, or how is this going to play out long term in the future. How about watch it? Triple H stated. Do you like it or do you not like it? Do you have to say, I like it, but I like other things more? Or I like it, but I don't like it as much as I like that one. Just watch it or don't, and stop trying to figure out where everything goes. He goes on to say, the fans ruin their own stuff half the time, trying to figure out where everything goes and why it's going there, and how and then trying to pick up their phone to go search for the thing to find out what it is and can ruin it for them, so they're not surprised when it happens. I don't understand that. I'm thrilled with what the brand is. I'm happy with where it is. Do I want it to get better? Yes. Do I want it to grow? Yes. Do I want it to expand? Yes. But again, people will take this line, use it out of context. It's a marathon, not a sprint. I'm not here to make a brand that's around for a few years or a few minutes. I want it to be long-term. And how's it going to be long-term? It's going to morph and evolve. It shouldn't be the same. It's the same 3 years from now or 4 years from now as it is right now. We made a mistake. It's just like people, you grow. If you're the same person 4 years from now, you didn't grow. So we're going to break this down. We're going to break down some of the stuff he's saying, because I agree with something he says, and I vehemently disagree with others. Now, let's start with the first part of this. It's funny to me, sometimes in our business, everybody's so worried about where people are going to go or land, or how's it going to play out long-term in the future. How about watch it? Do you like it or do you not? Do you have to say, I like it, but I like other things more, or I like it, but I didn't like it as much as I like that one? Just watch it and stop trying to figure out where everything goes. So let's break down that first part. Hey, Salome, welcome to the live stream, my friend. So let's break this first part down. You know, here's the thing with wrestling. Like, do you like it or do you not? I like this, but I like that more. That's part of being a wrestling fan. Like, you want to say that you like things. You want to say, I like this, but I didn't like that. Or I like this, but I might have liked this more. That's how you guys get feedback. That's how the WWE and how these companies in general get feedback. By listening to the fans. I don't know how many times WWE has tooted their own horn that, oh, they listen to the fans. But yet they would continue to shove stuff down our throats that obviously isn't over, that we don't like. And then he goes, just watch it or don't, and stop trying to figure out where everything goes. Well, Triple H, that's the thing. People are just stop watching. I heard a statistic, I think it's WWE's down, they've lost like 70% of their viewership over the last few years. I'd say it's probably closer to like 50% more. Just a few years ago, they were pulling in over 3 million viewers each and every week on Raw. Now they're barely making 1.5 million. So people are not watching. I think the 1.5 million, 1.6 million people that watch Raw every week are ones that are just, it's so ingrained, which is kind of where I'd been. But, you know, Mondays I stream on YouTube, so I don't really get a chance to watch Raw. Plus, it's been such a bad show that I almost don't even want to watch. And then the last line of this little section here, stop trying to figure out where everything goes. That's the thing, though. That's part of wrestling. Like, at least for me, and again, this is just my own personal opinion, there are two major points to professional wrestling, sports entertainment, whatever term you want to use. Good in-ring, you know, the in-ring product, the actual matches themselves, and the storytelling. The story, why are these guys fighting? Why are these women fighting? What are they fighting over? What's their motivation to attack? You know, what is wrestler A's motivation to attack wrestler B? What will wrestler B do to retaliate back to wrestler A? You want to follow these stories. You want to try to figure out where these stories are going. But 99% of the time, they don't go anywhere. It's just mindless. matches. It's the same matches each and every week on Raw. SmackDown's not quite as repetitive. NXT isn't repetitive, at least not that I've ever noticed. I could just be blinded because NXT is my favorite brand, my favorite program right now, followed closely by SmackDown. But that's the thing. That's what wrestling fans want to do. We want to figure out where things are going. Where is this? How's this story going to play out? How are things going to play out? What's the payoff going to be at the end? And the majority of the time, an overwhelmingly large majority of the time, it's going nowhere. Or things are just dropped. Plans change, as Dave Meltzer always likes to say. Plans changed. And a lot of people give him flack for that, but a lot of times I think that's the case because you'll have a storyline that they'll be working on for a couple weeks and just out of nowhere, poof, it's gone. There's nothing, no follow-up or anything. Let's talk about the next little segment of this quote. The fans ruin their own stuff half the time trying to figure out where everything goes and why it's going there and how, and then trying to pick up the phone and go search for the thing to find out what it is. That can ruin it for them, so they're not surprised when it happens. I don't understand with that. I don't understand that. Now, this is part of the thing that I sort of agree. The fans do ruin their own stuff half the time. But I don't think it's why. It's because they're trying to figure everything out where everything falls into place. I think it's more, at least for me, you know, my opinion on this, is that they ruin it half the time because they have their own headcanon. They have every wrestling fan is a fantasy booker. Every segment, every storyline, every match, probably 99.9% of wrestling fans are like, well, I wouldn't have done that. Why? They could make the story so much better if they did X. They could do so much better if they did Y instead of X. And I'm guilty of that at times. When I watch wrestling, when I watch Raw, it's mainly Raw because Raw has been such a bad program. I watch and I see the matches, the same matches we've seen week after week after week for months on end. And I just keep sitting here thinking to myself, like, well, the stories aren't progressing. Where is this going? Now you have the same two guys wrestle week in, week out. You have the same two teams wrestle week in, week out. There's no progression to the story. It's just random matches week after week. And then they have a pay-per-view match once a month. There's no stakes. There's no, you know, final outcome to these stories. They just kind of end. And as a fan, I know for me, and I'm sure there's probably a lot of you all out there that feel the same way, you want stories to progress. Like week one, you want to get to a certain point. Week two, you move, you know, from point A to point B. Week three, you move from point B to point C. Week four, you move from point C to point D. You progress these stories, and we want to know where they end up. Like, we want to know what the outcomes are going to be. We want to know what the end game is with these feuds and these stories that they're trying to tell us every week. But a lot of times, again, I'm going to sound like a broken record because a lot of it's the same stuff. The same matches week after week after week. And it's, you know, it makes me so frustrated. It really just makes me frustrated that this company has endless amounts of talent. They have a bloated creative staff. And yet they still manage to give us the same dozen superstars on a 3-hour broadcast week in and week out. I was looking at the rosters the other week and I just saw what SmackDown's roster is. Only like maybe like 20 people in the entirety of SmackDown. And for whatever reason, it doesn't feel anywhere near as repetitive as Raw because those stories progress. We want to know what's going to happen next. I want to know what's going to happen next with Roman Reigns and Jimmy and Jey Uso. You know, you can go to like even NXT. Like, I want to know what's going to happen next with the Million Dollar Man Teddy Biasi and Cameron Grimes and LA Knight. I want to know where that is. In my head, I'm trying to think, okay, what are they going to do? You know, they got the ladder match coming up at TakeOver in Your House. But where are they going to go from there? Like, once the match is over and someone's a million-dollar champion, what's next? We want to know what's next. That's part of being a wrestling fan, is you want to know where these stories are going to go. You want to know what the next step is. You want to know how things are going to progress. But again, a lot of times it's just the same stuff over and over. You know, then this last part, he talks about, you know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. But yet WWE is infamous for fast tracking these, you know, hot shots, or hot shotting. That's it. That's the term I'm looking for. Hot shotting these angles to pop a number. That's not a marathon. That is a sprint. You want to hot shot an angle. You want to hot shot a return to pop a number. You do a Legends Night. And then you basically just have all the legends, you know, be made to feel inferior to every single superstar. You have your top guys talking down to legends. But just by appearing, that's a sprint. That's trying to pop a number. Like back in January, Legends Night, Randy Orton just shit on every legend on Legends Night. And you're trying to pop a number. You know, and they announced Legends Night like a week ahead of time. Oh, by the way, next week is Legends Night. That's not a marathon. That is a sprint. You know, if you use these legends right now, I've talked a lot about this recently too, about the treatment of legends. You know, use them as a marathon. Have them help put over you guys. Like, AEW is doing a great job with their legends. And this harkens back to one of the, I think it was last week or the week before, when I went on my little rant about this stuff. They won't let things play out. You know, how many times if you're one of the smarter fans, I guess would be the term people would use, the infamous 3-week push. How many superstars do you see on Raw? They get a 3-week push and then they just disappear, or then they go on like a long losing streak. That's not a marathon. That is a sprint. Oh, he didn't get over in 3 weeks. Sorry. We're going to go move on to somebody else. That's not planning long term. That's, well, it didn't work in the first couple weeks. Let's move on to something else. And, you know, normally when on these, media calls, Triple H says all the right things. And I love his outlook and everything he says. But these quotes here, he put his foot in his mouth. It is not anything like he's ever said before on these conference calls. And I don't know what's chapped his ass to make him kind of lash out at the fans a little bit. But he says here, I want it to be long term, and how's it going to be long term? It's going to morph and evolve. It shouldn't be the same. If it's the same 3 years from now or 4 years from now as it is right now, we made a mistake. Well, Paul Levesque, WWE has made a mistake over and over and over again. It's the same old stuff, week in, week out. You know, the perfect thing to say to this, the easiest answer to fix this is, last year on Black Wednesday, April 15th, you released all those talent, most of which hadn't been used or seen in months. This year, Black Wednesday Part 2, this April 15th, released more talent, a lot of which hadn't been utilized or seen on television in months. Bo Dallas wasn't on TV for over a year and a half. He finally got his walking papers. Now, you've had all these talents. You know, the term you hear a lot, creative has nothing for you. Creative doesn't have to have stuff for you. Creative, you know, if you don't have a storyline for somebody like a Bo Dallas, put him on TV and let him work a match, main event, you know, on main event or something. Have him work, you know, a match a month. You know, instead of rotating these superstars in and out, that they just pump the same, you know, 7 matches down our throats every Monday night. Meanwhile, you've got, you know, 2 dozen people sitting at home collecting paychecks, probably double the value that, you know, they're worth to WWE because they didn't want them to go to AEW. They're hoarding talent. You know, you have all these, you know, men and women just sitting at home, twiddling their thumbs, wanting to work. And you wonder why people badmouth them when they go other places. You know, there's a lot of story. I don't know if it's just bitter superstars or, you know, bitter ex-employees. A lot of guys have a lot of nice things to say. Like, Aleister Black hasn't buried the company like a lot of people thought they would. He's actually been pretty complimentary of the company in his, you know, recent talks since being released. But you have all these talent that you just let sit at home, giving us the same stuff week after week, month after month, year after year. You know, you could take, you know, when Aleister Black's off TV, you know, bring, just use an example, Samoa Joe, bring Samoa Joe in to work a, you know, a 3-month program with somebody. You know, let Aleister Black sit at home and then have Aleister Black come back. Then you give Joe, you know, a month off, have him work main event matches where it may not be in a main storyline, but he's still working matches. You know, they have so many hours of content to fill. And you got 3 hours on Raw, 2 hours on SmackDown. You got an hour on main event and another 2 hours on NXT. That's 8 hours of programming each and every week. You need to tell me you ain't got spots for a lot of these people that have been released that are just sitting at home doing nothing. Again, like I said, I normally agree with a lot of what Triple H has said, and I have praised him up one side and down the other. Not that my praise means anything to him or anybody else, but I've loved what he's built in NXT. And a lot of what he's saying really doesn't even apply to NXT. NXT is fresh. Someone will disappear for a few weeks. They'll work in some new people. When the someone returns, they work, you know, they work people in and out. You know, there are certain people that are, have segments or TV time each and every week. But a lot of the time they rotate people. They keep the main storylines fresh every week. But some of the lesser ones, you know, they give them a few weeks off and they come back and can pick up, have good matches. Raw, on the other hand, just is bad. I'm tired. I've ranted on this for a while. By the way, I've got Jen in the house. They probably won't be able to hear you, but she's over here. What do you think? Am I wrong? Let me know. If you're watching the live stream, let me know. What do you think? Let me know what you think of Triple H's comments. Gotta take a damn drink. But that's my rant on the Triple H. I agree that fans do tend to ruin stuff, but not for the reasons he outlined. Not for the reasons he's outlined. I think there's a lot of other ways fans ruin things for themselves. I'm guilty of some of those. But overall, I really disagree with a lot of things he said. And he's just kind of throwing shade at fans for expecting better from a company that we know can do better. And mainly, I'm mainly just putting this aggression to Raw. I love NXT. I don't want to badmouth NXT. I love NXT. SmackDown's been really, really good. Normally, I'm watching SmackDown, but instead, I'm recording this tonight because I didn't go live last night. But let me know what you guys think. If you're listening to the audio version of this, reach out to us via Facebook or Instagram, or shoot us a good old-fashioned electronic mail. WWFShow@gmail.com. And that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Wrestling with Fans podcast. Thank you all for watching. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time. Once again, my name is Kyle. I'm screwing up my own outro. Once again, my name is Kyle. We'll see you next time right here on Wrestling with Fans.